When the WR destroys you.
Anything less would be civilized.
Hey, hello, friends, fellow wisdom seekers, fellow truth seekers, everybody. Welcome to the Brave New World Order, straight out the dungeons of podcasting. I am Brandon St. One. Thank you, everybody, for joining me for this episode. Come with me as we swan dive headfirst into the abyss that is the Nag Hammadi Library. I did an episode of this back in February of this year. I did the hypostases of the Archons, the reality of the rulers, and I also dove into where these mysterious texts come from, how they were discovered. So definitely go back, check that episode out, because today we are going to dive into the Apocryphon of John. Pretty interesting little tale out of the Nag Hammadi Library, where John is visited by Jesus, who is referred to as the Savior, and Jesus lays some goddamn truth bombs on him about what is really going on here, and who the Archons are, and who Yaldabaoth is, the chief Archon, the Demiurge, all that good stuff. I know that Gnosticism, I've been seeing, it's been getting a lot of heat lately. I find all this stuff to be interesting. I don't know what is going on. I don't know what the true story is. I find Gnosticism to be very interesting. The Nag Hammadi Library, how it was discovered. And, you know, this stuff has been left out. So I think there's something to it. It's good to know all the information. And I know that there are a lot of devout Christians that hate this stuff. They hate Hermeticism. They don't want any mention of it. They don't want you talking about it. It's blasphemous. It's the work of the devil. It's trying to get people to think that they are gods themselves and turn away from God and Jesus. But I don't really look at it that way. I think the people who are responsible for organized religion have done a great job trying to put forth the narrative they want to put forth and use the Bible and God and Jesus to control people and to kind of ignore the control aspect of religion. I'm not going to do that. I want as much information as possible. And I know people get upset and I don't really care. But at the same time, I'm not like married and committed to these ideas either. I just find it fascinating and I just want to explore all avenues, and I hope that you're open-minded and you want to come along with me on this journey, which you have been. And the last episode was well received. I didn't get any hate or anything. I just like to talk about what's going on in my head and why I talk about the things that I talk about at the times that I do. And the real reason I like talking about the Nag Hammadi Library and the Archons is because I really think it ties into what's going on with UAPs and UFOs and demons. I think it's all the same, and I think it's related. And I think that these beings can manifest at certain times. And a lot of the stuff that's coming out recently and is being said in the media by these whistleblowers. Another thing I did an episode on a couple months back, the UAP hearings, and some of the stuff that's been mentioned about interdimensional beings. There are a lot of whispers about these entities being ancient and possibly have been here for a long time, possibly all along. So I think that the Nag Hammadi Library, and if you come along with me on this journey for the Apocryphon of John and keep in your head what's going on in the world today with UAPs and UFOs, you might start making some connections and see where I'm coming from. So thank you, everybody, once again, for coming along with me on this journey. If you like the Brave New World Order, please take a second to like, to subscribe, to leave a review. Also, go check out the website, thebravenewworldorderpodcast.com. Subscribe to the email list. Listen to episodes over there. Get in touch with me. Let me know what you think of the podcast, of the website. Say what's on your mind. Whatever. If you listen on Spotify, there's a Q&A. Answer that. Connect. Let's get the conversation started. And one more thing real quick before we get into the episode. All right, everybody. Let's swan dive headfirst into the abyss that is the Apocryphon of John from the Nag Hammadi Library. The Apocryphon of John. The teaching of the Savior and the revelation of the mysteries and the things hidden in silence. Even these things which he taught John, his disciple. And it happened one day when John, the brother of James, who are the sons of Zebedee, had come up to the temple, that a Pharisee named Aramaeus approached him and said to him, "Where is your master whom you followed?" And he said to him, "He has gone to the place from which he came." The Pharisee said to him, "With deception did this Nazarene deceive you, and he filled your ears with lies, and closed your hearts, and turned you from the traditions of your fathers. When I, John, heard these things, I turned away from the temple to a desert place, and I grieved greatly in my heart, saying, 'How then was the Savior appointed, and why was he sent into the world by his father? And who is his father who sent him? And of what sort is that aeon to which we shall go? For what did he mean when he said to us, "This aeon to which you will go is of the type of the imperishable aeon"? But he did not teach us concerning the latter of what sort it is. Straightway, while I was contemplating these things, behold, the heavens opened, and the whole creation which is below heaven shone, and the world was shaken. I was afraid, and behold, I saw in the light a youth who stood by me. While I looked at him, he became like an old man, and he changed his likeness again, becoming like a servant. There was not a plurality before me, but there was a likeness with multiple forms in the light, and the likeness appeared through each other, and the likeness had three forms. He said to me, "John, John, why do you doubt, or why are you afraid? You are not unfamiliar with this image, are you? That is, do not be timid. I am the one who is with you always. I am the Father. I am the Mother. I am the Son. I am the undefiled and incorruptible One. Now I have come to teach you what is and what was and what will come to pass, that you may know the things which are not revealed and those which are revealed, and to teach you concerning the unwavering race of the perfect man. Now, therefore, lift up your face, that you may receive the things that I shall teach you today, and may tell them to your fellow spirits who are from the unwavering race of the perfect man." And I asked to know it, and he said to me, "The monad is a monarchy with nothing above it. It is he who exists as God and Father of everything, the invisible one, who is above everything, who exists as incorruption, which is in the pure light into which no eye can look. He is the invisible spirit of whom it is not right to think of him as a god or something similar, for he is more than a god, since there is nothing above him, for no one lords it over him, for he does not exist in something inferior to him, since everything exists in him, for it is he who establishes himself. He is eternal, since he does not need anything, for he is total perfection. He did not lack anything that he might be completed by it. Rather, he is always completely perfect in light. He is illimitable, since there is no one prior to him to set limits to him. He is unsearchable, since there exists no one prior to him to examine him. He is immeasurable, since there was no one prior to him to measure him. He is invisible, since no one saw him. He is eternal, since he exists eternally. He is ineffable, since no one was able to comprehend him, to speak about him. He is unnameable, since there is no one prior to him to give him a name. He is immeasurable light, which is pure, holy, and immaculate. He is ineffable, being perfect in incorruptibility. He is not in perfection, nor in blessedness, nor in divinity, but he is far superior. He is not corporeal, nor is he incorporeal. He is neither large, nor is he small. There is no way to say what is his quantity or what is his quality, for no one can know him. He is not someone among other beings. Rather, he is far superior. Not that he is simply superior, but his essence does not partake in the eons nor in time, for he partakes in an eon was prepared beforehand. Time was not apportioned to him, since he does not receive anything from another, for it would be received on loan. For he who precedes someone does not lack, that he may receive from him. Rather, it is the latter that looks expectantly at him in his light. For the perfection is majestic. He is pure, immeasurable mind. He is an eon-giving eon. He is a life-giving life. He is a blessedness-giving blessed one. He is knowledge-giving knowledge. He is goodness-giving goodness. He is mercy and redemption-giving mercy. He is grace-giving grace, not because he possesses it, but because he gives the immeasurable, incomprehensible light. How am I to speak with you about him? His eon is indestructible, at rest, and existing in silence, reposing and being prior to everything. For he is the head of all the eons, and it is he who gives them strength in his goodness. For we know not the ineffable things, and we do not understand what is immeasurable, except for him who came forth from him, namely, from the Father. For it is he who told it to us alone, for it is he who looks at himself in his light which surrounds him, namely, the spring of the water of life. And it is he who gives to all the eons and in every way, and who gazes upon his image, which he sees in the spring of the Spirit. It is he who puts his desire in his water light, which is in the spring of the pure light water which surrounds him. And his thought performed a deed, and she came forth. Namely, she who had appeared before him in the shine of his light. This is the first power which was before all of them, and which came forth from his mind. She is the forethought of the all. Her light shines like his light, the perfect power, which is the image of the invisible, virginal spirit, who is perfect. The first power, the glory of Barbello, the perfect glory in the eons, the glory of the revelation. She glorified the virginal spirit, and it was she who praised him, because thanks to him she had come forth. This is the first thought, his image. She became the womb of everything, for it is she who is prior to them all, the mother father, the first man, the Holy Spirit, the thrice male, the thrice powerful, the thrice named androgynous one, and the eternal eon among the invisible ones, and the first to come forth. She requested from the invisible virginal spirit that is Barbello to give her foreknowledge, and the spirit consented. And when he had consented, the foreknowledge came forth, and it stood by the forethought. It originates from the thought of the invisible virginal spirit. It glorified him in his perfect power, Barbello, for it was for her sake that it had come into being, and she requested again to grant her indestructibility, and he consented. When he had consented, indestructibility came forth, and it stood by the thought and the foreknowledge. It glorified the invisible one and Barbello, the one for whose sake they had come into being. And Barbello requested to grant her eternal life, and the invisible spirit consented. And when he had consented, eternal life came forth, and they attended and glorified the invisible spirit and Barbello, the one for whose sake they had come into being. And she requested again to grant her truth, and the invisible spirit consented. And when he had consented, truth came forth, and they attended and glorified the invisible, excellent spirit and his Barbello, the one for whose sake they had come into being. This is the pentad of the eons of the Father, which is the first man, the image of the invisible spirit. It is the forethought, which Barbello, and the thought, and the foreknowledge, and the indestructibility, and the eternal life, and the truth. This is the androgynous pentad of the eons, which is the decad of the eons, which is the Father. And he looked at Barbello with the pure light which surrounds the invisible spirit, and with his spark, and she conceived from him. He begot a spark of light, and with a light resembling blessedness, but it does not equal his greatness. This was an only begotten child of the mother father, which had come forth. It is the only offspring, the only begotten one of the Father, the pure light. And the invisible virginal spirit rejoiced over the light which came forth, that which was brought forth first by the first power of his forethought, which is Barbello, and he anointed it with his goodness until it became perfect, not lacking in any goodness, because he had anointed it with the goodness of the invisible spirit, and it attended him as he poured upon it, and immediately, when it had received from the Spirit, it glorified the Holy Spirit and the perfect forethought, for whose sake it had came forth. And it requested to give it a fellow worker, which is the mind, and he consented gladly. And when the invisible spirit had consented, the mind came forth, and it attended Christ, glorifying him, and Barbello, and all these came into being in silence. And the mind wanted to perform a deed through the word of the invisible spirit, and his will became a deed, and it appeared with the mind, and the light glorified it, and the word followed the will, for because of the word, Christ, the divine, autogenous, created everything, and the eternal life, and his will, and the mind, and the foreknowledge attended and glorified the invisible spirit and Barbello, for whose sake they had come into being. And the Holy Spirit completed the divine autogenous, his Son, together with Barbello, that he may attend the mighty and invisible virginal spirit as the divine autogenous, the Christ, whom he had honored with a mighty voice. He came forth through the forethought, and the invisible virginal spirit placed the divine autogenous of truth over everything, and he subjected to him every authority and the truth which is in him, that he may know the all which had been called with a name exalted above every name, for that name will be mentioned to those who are worthy of it. For from the light, which is the Christ, and the indestructibility, through the gift of the Spirit, the four lights appeared from the divine autogenous. He expected that they might attend him, and the three are will, thought, and life, and the four powers are understanding, grace, perception, and prudence. And grace belongs to the light Aeon Armozel, which is the first angel. And there are three other Aeons with this Aeon, grace, truth, and form. And the second light is Oriel, who had been placed over the second Aeon. And there are three other Aeons with him, conception, perception, and memory. And the third light is Davatai, who has been placed over the third Aeon. And there are three other Aeons with him, understanding, love, and idea. And the fourth Aeon was placed over the fourth light, Aleleth. And there are three other Aeons with him, perfection, peace, and wisdom. These are the four lights which attend the divine autogenous, and these are the 12 Aeons which attend the Son of the Mighty One, the autogenous, the Christ, through the will and the gift of the invisible Spirit. And the 12 Aeons belong to the Son of the autogenous, and all things were established by the will of the Holy Spirit through the autogenous. And from the foreknowledge of the perfect mind, through the revelation of the will of the invisible spirit and the will of the autogenous perfect man, appeared the first revelation and the truth. It is he whom the virginal spirit called Pugera Adamus, and he placed him over the first Aeon with the Mighty One, the autogenous, the Christ, by the first light, Armozel, and with him are his powers. And the Invisible One gave him a spiritual, invincible power. And he spoke and glorified and praised the Invisible Spirit, saying, "It is for thy sake that everything has come into being, and everything will return to thee. I shall praise and glorify thee, and the autogenous, and the eons, the three, the Father, the Mother, and the Son, the perfect power. And he placed his son Seth over the second eon in the presence of the second light aureole. And in the third eon, the seed of Seth was placed over the third light, Davatai, and the souls of the saints were placed there. And in the fourth eon, the souls were placed of those who do not know the Pleroma, and who did not repent at once, but who persisted for a while and repented afterwards. They are by the fourth light, Eleleth. These are creatures which glorify the invisible spirit, and the Sophia of the Epinoia, being an eon, conceived a thought from herself, and the conception of the invisible spirit and foreknowledge, she wanted to bring forth a likeness out of herself without the consent of the spirit. He had not approved, and without her consort, and without his consideration, and though the person of her maleness had not approved, and she had not found her agreement, and she had thought without the consent of the spirit and the knowledge of her agreement, yet she brought forth. And because of the invincible power which is in her, her thought did not remain idle, and something came out of her which was imperfect and different from her appearance, because she had created it without her consort, and it was dissimilar to the likeness of its mother, for it has another form. And when she saw the consequences of her desire, it changed into a form of a lion-faced serpent, and its eyes were like lightning fires which flash. She cast it away from her, outside that place, that no one of the immortal ones might see it, for she had created it in ignorance, and she surrounded it with luminous cloud, and she placed a throne in the middle of the cloud, that no one might see it except the Holy Spirit, who is called the Mother of the Living, and she called his name Yaldabaoth. This is the first Archon, who took a great power from his mother, and he removed himself from her and moved away from the places in which he was born. He became strong and created for himself other eons with a flame of luminous fire which still exists now. And he joined with his arrogance which is in him and begot authorities for himself. The name of the first one is Althoth, whom the generations call the Reaper. The second one is Harmus, who is the Eye of Envy. The third one is Kalila O'Umbri. The fourth one is Yabel. The fifth one is Adonaiu, who is called Sabaoth. The sixth one is Cain, whom generations of men call the Son. The seventh is Abel. The eighth is Abrazine. The ninth is Yobel. The tenth is Armupiel. The 11th is Melsir Adonain. The 12th is Belias. It is he who is over the depth of Hades, and he placed 7 kings, each corresponding to the firmaments of heaven, over the 7 heavens, and 5 over the depth of the abyss, that they may reign. And he shared his fire with them, but he did not send forth from the power of the light which he had taken from his mother, for he is ignorant darkness. And when the light had mixed with the darkness, it caused the darkness to shine. And when the darkness had mixed with the light, it darkened the light, and it became neither light nor dark, but it became dim. Now, the Archon, who is weak, has three names. The first name is Yaldabaoth, the second is Sakhlis, and the third is Samael. And he is impious in his arrogance, which is in him. For he said, I am God, and there is no other God beside me. For he is ignorant of his strength, the place from which he had come. And the Archons created seven powers for themselves, and the powers created for themselves six angels, for each one, until they became 365 angels. And these are the bodies belonging with the names. The first is Athoth, and he has a sheep's face. The second is Eliahu, he has a donkey's face. The third is Astaphios, he has a hyena's face. The fourth is Yao, he has a serpent's face with seven heads. The fifth is Sabaoth, he has a dragon's face. The sixth is Adonin, he had a monkey's face. The seventh is Sabid, he has a shining fire face. This is the sevenness of the weak. But Yaldabaoth had a multitude of faces, more than all of them, so that he could put a face before all of them, according to his desire, when he is in the midst of seraphs. He shared his fire with them. Therefore, he became Lord over them. Because of the power of the glory he possessed, of his mother's light, he called himself God, and he did not obey the place from which he came. And he united the seven powers in his thought with the authorities which were with him. And when he spoke, it happened. And he named each power, beginning with the highest. The first is goodness, with the first authority, Athoth. The second is foreknowledge, with the second one, Eloio. And the third is divinity, with the third one, Astraphio. The fourth is lordship, with the fourth one, Yao. The fifth is kingdom, with the fifth one, Sabaoth. The sixth is envy, with the sixth one, Adonain. The seventh is understanding, with the seventh one, Sabaton. And these have a firmament corresponding to each aeon heaven. They were given names according to the glory which belongs to heaven for the destruction of the powers. And in the names which were given to them by their originator, there was power. But the names which were given them according to the glory which belongs to heaven mean for them destruction and powerlessness. Thus they have two names. And having created everything, he organized according to the model of the first eons which had come into being, so that he might create them like the indestructible ones, not because he had seen the indestructible ones, but the power in him, which he had taken from his mother, produced in him the likeness of the cosmos. And when he saw the creation which surrounds him, and the multitude of the angels around him which had come forth from him, he said to them, I am a jealous God, and there is no other God beside me. But by announcing this, he indicated to the angels who attended him that there exists another God. For if there were no other one, of whom would he be jealous? Then the mother began to move to and fro. She became aware of the deficiency when the brightness of her light diminished, and she became dark because her consort had not agreed with her. And I said, Lord, what does it mean that she moved to and fro? But he smiled and said, do not think it is, as Moses said, above the waters. No, but when she had seen the wickedness which had happened, and the theft which her son had committed, she repented, and she was overcome by forgetfulness in the darkness of ignorance, and she began to be ashamed, and she did not dare to return, but she was moving about, and the moving is the going to and fro. And the arrogant one took a power from his mother, for he was ignorant, thinking that there existed no other except his mother alone. And when he saw the multitude of the angels which he had created, then he exalted himself above them. And when the mother recognized that the garment of darkness was imperfect, then she knew that her consort had not agreed with her. She repented with much weeping, and the whole Pleroma heard the prayer of her repentance, and they praised on her behalf the invisible virginal spirit. And he consented. And when the invisible spirit had consented, the Holy Spirit poured over her from their whole Pleroma. For it was not her consort who had came to her, but he came to her through the Pleroma in order that he might correct her deficiency. And she was taken up not to her own aeon, but above her son, that she might be in the ninth until she has corrected her deficiency. And a voice came forth from the exalted aeon heaven. The man exists, and the Son of Man. And the chief archon, Yaldabaoth, heard it, and thought that the voice had come from his mother, and he did not know from where it came. And he taught them, the holy and perfect mother-father, the complete foreknowledge, the image of the invisible one who is the father of the all, and through whom everything came into being, the first man. For he revealed his likeness in a human form, and the whole aeon of the chief archon trembled, and the foundations of the abyss shook, and of the waters which are above matter, the underside was illuminated by the appearance of his image which had been revealed. And when all the authorities and the chief archon looked, they saw the whole region of the underside, which was illuminated, and through the light they saw the form of the image in the water. And he said to the authorities which attend him, come, let us create a man according to the image of God, and according to our likeness, that his image may become a light for us. And they created by means of their respective powers, in correspondence with the characteristics which were given. And each authority supplied a characteristic in the form of the image which he had seen in its natural form. He created a being according to the likeness of the first perfect man. And they said, let us call him Adam, that his name may become a power of light for us. And the powers began. The first one, goodness, created a bone soul, and the second, foreknowledge, created a sinew soul. The third, divinity, created a flesh soul, and the fourth, the lordship, created a marrow soul. The fifth, kingdom, created a blood soul. The sixth, envy, created a skin soul. The seventh, understanding, created a hair soul. And the multitude of the angels attended him, and they received from the powers the seven substances of the natural form in order to create the proportions of the limbs and the proportion of the rump and the proper working together of each of the parts. All right, this next part here, I am going to summarize because Jesus lists off a bunch of names of these archons, these deities, these angels, these beings, whatever they are. He lists their names, and I can't pronounce all of these. It's going to sound ridiculous. I can barely read English and pronounce the words correctly. So I'm going to skip it, but to summarize it, Jesus is telling John that these archons tried to replicate the perfect man, which is Jesus, I'm assuming, which it sounds like. And they all band together, a bunch of different ones, and they each create a different part of the human anatomy. So that's what he does. He lists each name and what part of this perfect man they were in charge of replicating. So I'm skipping ahead a little bit here. This is the number of the angels. Together, they are 365. They all worked on it until limb for limb, the natural and the material body was completed by them. Now, there are other ones in charge over the remaining passions whom I did not mention to you. But if you wish to know them, it is written in the book of Zoroaster, and all the angels and demons worked until they had constructed the natural body, and their product was completely inactive and motionless for a long time. And when the mother wanted to retrieve the power which he had given to the chief archon, she petitioned the mother father of the all, who is the most merciful. He sent, by means of the holy decree, the five lights down upon the place of the angels of the chief archon. They advised him that they should bring forth the power of the mother, and they said to Yaldabaoth, "Blow into his face something of your spirit, and his body will rise." And he blew into his face the spirit which is the power of his mother. He did not know this, for he exists in ignorance, and the power of the mother went out of Yaldabaoth into the natural body, which they had fashioned after the image of the one who exists from the beginning. The body moved, and it gained strength, and it was luminous. And in that moment, the rest of the powers became jealous, because he had come into being through all of them, and they had given their power to the man, and his intelligence was greater than that of those who had made him, and greater than that of the chief archon. And when they recognized that he was luminous, and that he could think better than they, and that he was free from wickedness, they took him and threw him into the lowest region of all matter. But the Blessed One, the Mother Father, the Beneficent and Merciful One, had mercy on the power of the Mother, which had been brought forth out of the chief archon, for they, the archons, might gain power over the natural and perceptible body. And he sent, through his beneficent spirit and his great mercy, a helper to Adam, luminous, epinoia, which comes out of him, who is called life. And she assists the whole creature by toiling with him, and by restoring him to his fullness, and by teaching him about the descent of his seed, and by teaching him about the way of ascent, which is the way he came down. And the luminous epinoia was hidden in Adam, and in order that the archons might not know her, but that the epinoia might be a correction of the deficiency of the mother. And the man came forth because of the shadow of the light which is in him, and his thinking was superior to all those who had made him. When they looked up, they saw that his thinking was superior, and they took counsel with the whole array of archons and angels. They took fire and earth and water and mixed them together with the four fiery winds, and they wrought them together and caused a great disturbance. And they brought him, Adam, into the shadow of death, in order that they might form him again from earth and water and fire and the spirit, which originates in matter, which is the ignorance of darkness and desire, and their counterfeit spirit. This is the tomb of the newly formed body with which the robbers had clothed the man, the bond of forgetfulness, and he became a mortal man. This is the first one who came down in the first separation. But the epinoia of the light which was in him, she is the one who was to awaken his thinking. And the archons took him and placed him in paradise, and they said to him, "Eat that is at leisure, for their luxury is bitter, and their beauty is depraved, and their luxury is deception, and their trees are godlessness, and their fruit is deadly poison, and their promise is death, and the tree of their life they had placed in the midst of paradise. And I shall teach you what is the mystery of their life, which is the plan which they made together, which is the likeness of their spirit. The root of this tree is bitter, and its branches are death. Its shadow is hate, and deception is in its leaves. And its blossom is the ointment of evil, and its fruit is death, and desire is its seed. And it sprouts in darkness. The dwelling place of those who taste from it is Hades, and the darkness is their place of rest. But what they call the tree of knowledge of good and evil, which is the epinoia of the light, they stayed in front of it in order that he, Adam, might not look up to his fullness and recognize the nakedness of his shamefulness. But it was I who brought about that they ate. And to I said to the Savior, "Lord, was it not the serpent that taught Adam to eat?" The Savior smiled and said, "The serpent taught them to eat from wickedness of begetting, lust, and destruction, that he, Adam, might be useful to him. And he, Adam, knew that he was disobedient to him, the chief archon, due to light of the epinoia which is in him, which made him more correct in his thinking than the chief archon. And the latter wanted to bring about the power which he himself had given him, and he brought a forgetfulness over Adam. And I said to the Savior, 'What is the forgetfulness?' And he said, 'It is not the way Moses wrote and you heard. For he said in his first book, he put him to sleep, but it was in his perception. For also he said through the prophet, I will make their hearts heavy, that they may not pay attention and may not see.' Then the epinoia of the light hid herself in him, Adam, that is, and the chief archon wanted to bring her out of his rib, but the epinoia of the light cannot be grasped. Although darkness pursued her, it did not catch her. And he brought a part of his power out of him, and he made another creature in the form of a woman, according to the likeness of the Epinoia which had appeared to him. And he brought the part which he had taken from the power of the man into the female creature, and not, as Moses said, his rib bone. And Adam saw the woman beside him, and in that moment the luminous Epinoia appeared, and she lifted the veil which lay over his mind, and he became sober from the drunkenness of darkness, and he recognized his counter image, and he said, "This is indeed bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. Therefore, the man will leave his father and his mother, and he will cleave to his wife, and they will both be one flesh. For they will send him his consort, and he will leave his father and his mother. And our sister, Sophia, is she who came down in innocence in order to rectify her deficiency. Therefore, she was called Life, which is the mother of the living, by the foreknowledge of the sovereignty of heaven. And through her, they have tasted the perfect knowledge. I appeared in the form of an eagle on the tree of knowledge, which is the Epinoia from the foreknowledge of the pure light, that I might teach them and awaken them out of the depth of sleep. For they were both in a fallen state, and they recognized their nakedness. The Epinoia appeared to them as a light. She awakened their thinking. And when Yaldabaoth noticed that they withdrew from him, he cursed his earth. He found the woman as she was preparing herself for her husband. He was lord over her, though he did not know the mystery which had come to pass through the holy decree. And they were afraid to blame him, and he showed his angels his ignorance which is in him. And he cast them out of paradise, and he clothed them in gloomy darkness. And the chief archon saw the virgin who stood by Adam, and that luminous Epinoia of life had appeared in her. And Yaldabaoth was full of ignorance. And when the foreknowledge of the all noticed it, she sent some, and they snatched life out of Eve. And the chief archon seduced her, and he begot in her two sons. The first and the second are Elohim and Yahweh. Elohim has a bear face, and Yahweh has a cat face. The one is righteous, but the other is unrighteous. Yahweh is righteous, but Elohim is unrighteous. Yahweh, he set over the fire and the wind, and Elohim, he set over the water and the earth. And these he called with the names Cain and Abel, with a view to deceive. Now, up to the present day, sexual intercourse continued due to the chief archon, and he planted sexual desire in her who belongs to Adam, and he produced through intercourse the copies of the bodies, and he inspired them with his counterfeit spirit. And the two archons he set over principalities, so that they might rule over the tomb. And when Adam recognized the likeness of his own foreknowledge, he begot the likeness of the Son of Man. He called him Seth, according to the way of the race in the eons. Likewise, the mother also sent down her spirit, which is in her likeness, and a copy of those who are in the Pleroma, for she will prepare a dwelling place for the eons which will come down. and he made them drink water of forgetfulness from the chief archon, in order that they might not know from where they came. Thus, the seed remained for a while, assisting him, in order that, when the spirit comes forth from the holy eons, he may raise up and heal him from the deficiency, that the whole Pleroma may again become holy and faultless. And I said to the Savior, Lord, will all the souls then be brought safely into the pure light? He answered and said to me, Great things have arisen in your mind, for it is difficult to explain them to others except to those who are from the immovable race, those on whom the spirit of life will descend, and with whom he will be with the power. They will be saved and become perfect and be worthy of the greatness and be purified in that place from all wickedness and the involvements in evil. Then they have no other care than the incorruption alone, to which they direct their attention from here on, without anger or envy or jealousy or desire and greed of anything. They are not affected by anything except a state of being in the flesh alone, which they bear while looking expectantly for the time when they will be met by the receivers of the body. Such, then, are worthy of the imperishable, eternal life and the calling, for they endure everything and bear up under everything, that they may finish the good fight and inherit eternal life. I said to him, Lord, the souls of those who did not do these works, but on whom the power and spirit descended, will they be rejected? He answered and said to me, If the spirit descended upon them, they will in any case be saved, and they will change for the better. For the power would descend on every man, for without it no one can stand. And after they are born, then, when the spirit of life increases, and the power comes and strengthens that soul, no one can lead it astray with works of evil. But those on whom the counterfeit spirit descends are drawn by him, and they go astray. And I said, Lord, where will the souls of these go when they have come out of their flesh? And he smiled and said to me, The soul in which the power will become stronger than the counterfeit spirit is strong, and it flees from evil, and through the intervention of the incorruptible one, it is saved, and it is taken up to the rest of the eons. And I said, Lord, those, however, who have not known to whom they belong, where will their souls be? And he said to me, In those the despicable spirit has gained strength when they went astray, and he burdens the soul and draws it to the works of evil, and he casts it down into forgetfulness, and after it comes out of the body, it is handed over to the authorities, who came into being through the Archon, and they bind it with chains and cast it into prison and consort with it until it is liberated from the forgetfulness and acquires knowledge. And if thus it becomes perfect, it is saved. And I said, Lord, how can the soul become smaller and return into the nature of its mother or into man? Then he rejoiced when I asked him. And he said to me, Truly, you are blessed, for you have understood that soul is made to follow another one. Since the spirit of life is in it, it is saved through him. It is not again cast into another flesh. And I said, Lord, these also who did not know, but have turned away, where will their souls go? Then he said to me, to that place where the angels of poverty go, they will be taken, the place where there is no repentance, and they will be kept for the day on which those who have blasphemed the Spirit will be tortured, and they will be punished with eternal punishment. And I said, Lord, from where did the counterfeit spirit come? Then he said to me, the Mother Father, who is rich in mercy, the Holy Spirit in every way, the one who is merciful and who sympathizes with you, the epinoia of the foreknowledge of light, he raised up the offspring of the perfect race and its thinking in the eternal light of man. When the chief archon realized that they were exalted above him in the height, and they surpass him in thinking, then he wanted to seize their thought, not knowing that they surpassed him in thinking, and that he will not be able to seize them. He made a plan with his authorities, which are his powers, and they committed together adultery with Sophia, and bitter fate was begotten through them, which is the last of the changeable bonds, and it is of a sort that is interchangeable, and it is harder and stronger than she with whom the gods united, and the angels and the demons and all the generations until this day. For from that fate came forth every sin and injustice and blasphemy, and the chain of forgetfulness and ignorance and every severe command and serious sins and great fears. And thus the whole creation was made blind, in order that they may not know God, who is above all of them. And because of the chain of forgetfulness, their sins were hidden, for they are bound with measures and times and moments, since fate is Lord over everything. And he, the chief archon, repented for everything which had come into being through him. This time he planned to bring a flood upon the work of man, but the greatness of the light of the foreknowledge informed Noah, and he proclaimed it to all the offspring which are the sons of men. But those who were strangers to him did not listen to him. It is not as Moses said, they hid themselves in an ark, but they hid themselves in a place, not only Noah, but also many other people from the immovable race. They went into a place and hid themselves in a luminous cloud, and Noah recognized his authority, and she who belongs to the light was with him, having shone on them because he, the chief archon, had brought darkness upon the whole earth. And he made a plan with his powers. He sent his angels to the daughters of men, that they might take some of them for themselves and raise offspring for their enjoyment. And at first they did not succeed. When they had no success, they gathered together again, and they made a plan together. They created a counterfeit spirit who resembles the spirit who had descended, so as to pollute the souls through it. And the angels changed themselves in their likeness into the likeness of their mates, filling them with the spirit of darkness, which they had mixed for them, and with evil. They brought gold and silver and a gift and copper and iron and metal and all kinds of things, and they steered the people who had followed them into great troubles by leading them astray with many deceptions. They, the people, became old without having enjoyment. They died not having found truth and without knowing the God of truth. And thus the whole creation became enslaved forever. from the foundation of the world until now. And they took women and begot children out of the darkness according to the likeness of their spirit. And they closed their hearts and they hardened themselves through the hardness of the counterfeit spirit until now. I, therefore, the perfect pronoia of the all, changed myself into my seed, for I existed first, going on every road, for I am the richness of the light, I am the remembrance of the pleroma, and I went into the realm of darkness, and I endured till I entered the middle of the prison, and the foundations of chaos shook, and I hid myself from them because of their wickedness, and they did not recognize me. Again, I returned for the second time, and I went about, and I came forth from those who belong to the light, which is I, the remembrance of the pronoia. I entered into the midst of darkness and the inside of Hades, since I was seeking to accomplish my task, and the foundations of chaos shook, that they might fall down upon those who are in chaos and might destroy them. And again, I ran up my root of light, lest they be destroyed before the time. Still, for a third time, I went. I am the light which exists in the light. I am the remembrance of the pronoia, that I might enter into the midst of darkness and the inside of Hades. And I filled my face with the light of the completion of their eon, and I entered into the midst of their prison, which is the prison of the body. And I said, he who hears, let him get up from the deep sleep. And he wept and shed tears, bitter tears he wiped from himself. And he said, who is it that calls my name? And from where has this hope come to me, while I am in the chains of the prison? And I said, I am the pronoia of pure light. I am the thinking of the virginal spirit who raised you up to the honored place. Arise and remember that it is you who hearkened and follow your route, which is I, the merciful one, and guard yourself against the angels of poverty and the demons of chaos and all those who ensnare you. And be aware of the deep sleep and the enclosure of the inside of Hades. And I raised him up and sealed him in the light of the water with five seals, in order that death might not have power over him from this time on. And behold, now I shall go up to the perfect eon. I have completed everything for you in your hearing, and I have said everything to you, that you might write them down and give them secretly to your fellow spirits. For this is the mystery of the immovable race. And the Savior presented these things to him, that he might write them down and keep them secure. And he said to him, cursed be everyone who will exchange these things for a gift, or for food, or for drink, or for clothing, or for any other such thing. And these things were presented to him in a mystery, and immediately he disappeared from him. And he went to his fellow disciples and related to them what the Savior had told him. Jesus Christ, amen. Okay, all right, everybody. Thank you so much for coming along with me on that journey. That was the Apocryphon of John from the Nag Hammadi Library. I hope that you all enjoyed that as much as I enjoyed putting it together. If you did, please leave a review, like this, share this with your friends, your family, strangers, anybody who will listen. Also, head on over to the website, thebravenewworldorderpodcast.com. Subscribe to the email list. Listen to episodes. Contact me. Say what's up. Tell me your thoughts, your feedback, anything. What's on your mind? Head over to Spotify, too, if you listen there. There is a Q&A. You can join the conversation. Tell me what's on your mind, what you think about the episode, feedback, anything at all. I love hearing from you, my listeners. Thank you again for joining me for this episode of the Brave New World Order. I am Brandon St. One. Much more to come. In the meantime, stay positive. Question everything. Think for yourself. Much love. Peace.